This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. A new documentary by two women filmmakers chronicles a group in Los Angeles that's so unique, you couldn't make up their name or slogan or their individual and collective stories. Ovarian Psychos is the name that a fierce group of women in Los Angeles have given themselves as they conduct nighttime monthly bike rides around the city. Comprised of women of color, Ovarian Psychos has provided the primarily Latina women members a safe space to be together, have strength in numbers, deal with personal and societal violence, and challenge expectations through a lens of punk culture and feminism. Joining me today is one of the two filmmakers, Joanna Sokolowski. She is the co-producer and co-director of Ovarian Psychos. Welcome to the program, Joanna.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And just for our radio audience, Psychos is P-S-Y-C-O-S. So it's missing the H that you would normally have in psycho, like psychotic. And it kind of sounds like cycles, bicycles. How did you stumble upon this documentary? How did you and your fellow filmmaker decide that this was a story you wanted to cover?
Yes. So my filmmaking partner's name is Kate. She actually just had a baby girl about 4 days ago, so she's unable to join me right now. I'm only 6 months pregnant, which you can't see in this video.
Wow. Congratulations to both you and Kate.
Thank you. This was a unplanned to do it so close together. But she was actually the one who first brought Ovarian Psychos to my attention. She was working on another project called No Mas Bebes about the forced sterilization of primarily Latina women in East Los Angeles.
Yeah, a film that we've covered on our show, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect. Yes. And so they were looking for outreach partners. And the producer on that film, Virginia, actually mentioned Ovarian Psychos. And like you said in your intro, the name alone kind of just seizes you. And Kate called me after this meeting with Virginia and said we were looking for a project to work on together, a project about young women, a project about that we wanted to see. And we just could not stop poring over their name. They had a Facebook profile at the time and a website. And we were just completely enamored by their presence, by the name, by their kind of like irreverent language and iconography. And so that was really the beginning.
So yeah. These are primarily youngish women. Some of them have been doing it for many years. The founders of this group have been around for a while. Some of them are mothers themselves. They recruit new members. And what is their purpose? I mean, of course, when you watch the film, their purpose becomes really apparent. But for our audience, how do you sort of describe their purpose? They go on collective bike rides. Like, there's a bunch of women riding through East LA and downtown LA and other parts of LA on their bikes en masse. It's not a sight you see very often. Sometimes they wear bandanas and they have this really interesting logo that basically looks like fallopian tubes and ovaries. What is their purpose?
Yeah. So they have monthly lunar rides. They're called lunar rides, and they correspond with the full moon and that link up with their menstrual cycles. And they ride every month with a mission. And they ride and they have a discussion about that mission or that purpose. And so sometimes it's violence against women. Sometimes it's about sisterhood. Sometimes it's about Zapatista. It's about all different types of things that are affecting them, things that are on their minds. But really the heart of the rides is what happens afterwards. They have a private discussion for all of the women who join them, and that's where the real work happens. And in the film, that's primarily what we're focused on, is the motivation for why the women do the work that they do, what's happened in their past that propels them to do that work. And like you said, a lot of them are mothers or sisters or daughters and are really dealing with the issues that come along with those titles and those roles. And that's what the film really focuses on. And that's what the Ovarian Psychos really focus on as well.
So these are women, and it seems like these are women who, given all of the resources that the state could give them, would have had incredible, promising lives, but society forgets about them. I mean, poor women in East LA, women of color, some of them were survivors of sexual abuse, some of them undocumented immigrants. Has this group, this collective that they've kind of formed together, become a glue that gives them a bigger purpose in life, that helps them see themselves in a different light?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to speak for the women in the group or for Ovarian Psychos, the collective, but something that we really focus on in the film is the bonds between mother and daughter, the sisterhood and the family that they create from their chosen family in Ovarian Psychos itself, and that those bonds are really the motivation for why they do the work. Mm-hmm. Ovarian Psychos as a group is an activist organization. You know, they're riding to address the issues that are most affecting them: violence against women, gentrification, issues of racism and classism and sexism. But the work is very much internal, and it's very much about building the sisterhood that you need in order to tackle those larger issues.
And to your great credit, one of the things that I was really impressed by in the film was that there's no narrator. The women talk about themselves. Yeah. The women tell their own stories. It unfolds very naturally, and they speak for themselves. And in fact, I want to play for our audience the trailer of the documentary Ovarian Psychos. Here it is.
Ovarian Psychos is a refuge for the runaway, for the throwaway. I understood that being an at-risk youth, now an adult, I'm still an at-risk adult. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't go away, right? And so where are the spaces for us?
When I first started riding a bicycle, people would stare. Is it because I'm a big girl? Is it because I'm a girl? Is it because they don't see any girls at all riding?
The reason why we're in Ovarian Psychos is because we feel like we're f***ed up.
The majority of us, not all of us, have some kind of trauma in our life. We're just that safe space for each other, to bring comfort, to bring a sense of family.
And that is the trailer for the documentary Ovarian Psychos that is co-produced and co-directed by my guest, Joanna Sokolowski. Such an incredible story. It's also quintessentially LA. And one of the things that you did in your film was bring in the history of activism, of kind of militancy, progressive politics that that sort of LA's Latino population has had, the Chicano moratorium in particular, a very important part of that history in which women were front and center, but often sort of written out of. Lay that out for our audience, how that history provides an appropriate backdrop for what the Ovarian Psychos are doing today.
Sure. You know, like many aspects of the film, it was really dictated by the work of the Ovarian Psychos. They are incredibly strategic and very cognizant of the work that's come before them, both from the Chicano movement, and something that's featured less prominently in the film is the way that they're affected by their indigenous heritage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the lines that they use a lot in their organizing is that they organize with an indigenous hood mentality. So it's really that blend of history and the present day and where they're at today. And so we really wanted to capture some of that in the film, and Mealy Blackwell so generously offered to speak about them. She was also really aware of their organizing strategies. And like she says, it's really a mix of that Chicana movement. It's a mix of Riot Girl, of punk, of kind of this Chola aesthetic, and that all of that kind of comes together in a really unique and very modern way.
One of the aspects of this documentary that I suppose we shouldn't be surprised by is how threatened men feel by a group like Ovarian Psychos. You have a section in your documentary where the women, members of the women of Ovarian Psychos, are kind of perplexed by how threatened people are, to the point where they get a lot of sort of hateful comments on their Facebook page. And, you know, this speaks to the sort of fragility of masculinity in our current culture, where just the mere idea of a group of women refusing to allow men, cisgender men in particular, heterosexual men. I know there's a sort of there's a side note on trans women being members, but their refusal to want to have a space where there's, you know, they don't need men, threatens men so much. How do these women respond to these like feelings of hurtful, you know, anger that they get from men who don't like the idea of seeing a group of women bicycling around at night?
You know, the pushback that they get from men and from men all over online, everywhere, is really interesting. It's something that we didn't expect. Just the other day, an LA Weekly article came out with Chela, the founder, who speaks to the Ovarian Psychos and their mission and vision and their work now really eloquently. And on Facebook, there was so much hateful comments, and it kind of blew my mind, and it really recalled back to that moment when we were filming with them, of just how polarizing getting together and how radical just a group of women getting together and claiming space can be. It's something you almost take for granted, just how confrontational that act of getting together is. And, you know, I think Joss in the film says it best, and I hope I'm quoting her correctly here, where she says, hater is going to hate and ovary is going to ovulate. And I think that's kind of the attitude that they take with it. You know, they're not very bogged down with it. They've said many times that it's not their job to tutor people who don't understand on the issues that affect them. But it's definitely something that is very present and something we wanted to present in the film, since it's something that they're dealing with daily.
And also, of course, you know, a woman biking alone at nighttime in a city like Los Angeles is sadly risky. And in any city around the country, you know, women being alone at nighttime or even in the daytime risk being heckled at, you know, best, and raped at worst, or killed. And so that mere act of them having strength in numbers and biking around the city seems to also challenge this notion in our patriarchal, male-dominated world.
Yes.
So they touch on so many different aspects of what we see in our society today. Can you tell us how being an ovarian psychos has impacted the women who join? In your film, you sort of follow one of the women who goes from deciding whether she wants to join them or not to being recruited by them. How does her life get changed?
Sure. You're referring to Evie, who
yes.
In the film, I mean, it was very serendipitous that we had the chance to film her. We didn't know that there was going to be a new member entering, obviously, when we began filming. And it was really great to film with her in particular because, like us, she was new to the entire concept of ovarian psychos. And we kind of got to follow her in the same moment that we were discovering them ourselves, which is kind of with this awe about the work that they do, this awe about seeing these women visualized on bikes all together, and that excitement is what really draws her in. And then we kind of get to follow her journey as she learns a little bit more about the group, and eventually, you know, there's some tension between her and the group, which is very normal for anybody who's entering a brand new space and environment. But it was really incredible to get to be with somebody who was kind of witnessing them for the first time with our enthusiasm, with our excitement. And I think it's really well captured in the film. And there's just really beautiful moments with her and her mom, who's kind of trying to understand what this organization does, and it's not always clicking 100%.
Right, and not all of the families of the women really get it. The parents don't always approve, and sometimes these are the same parents who were overprotective of their daughters growing up, and naturally so, that, you know, when living in a poor neighborhood where there is street violence, you tend to treat your daughters very differently than you might treat your sons. And some of the girls growing up felt hampered by that, rebelled. How do the parents figure into this? And in fact, why did you choose to bring some family members into the story?
You know, like I said, the real heart of the work that the Ovarian Psychos does is this kind of sisterhood building, this family building that they build between each other. And it really kind of synthesized and crystallized for us when we saw the relationship that Chela has with her daughter. Their relationship is incredibly unique and incredibly deep and strong, and something that you don't always see being visualized. And once we saw Chela interacting with her daughter Yoli, we thought, this is really the heart of the film. And it's not only the heart of the film, it's really the heart of why they do the work they do in Ovarian Psychos. And so that was really kind of began our desire to kind of see the way that other women are interacting with their mothers, the other ways that mothers and daughters interact, and the other ways that the women interact with each other. And so that was really the beginning of that, was seeing their relationship and how incredibly special it is.
And of course, when women do get together, whether they're friends that find sisterhood or mothers and daughters who come together, that becomes a really powerful thing and often threatens the status quo and inspires reactionary kind of responses that we were talking about earlier, which just kind of goes to show how important it is for there to be those connections. There's also, I referred to earlier in the way in which the group sort of defines their members. They're all women of color. But the fact that they call themselves ovarian psychos, some pointed out that, you know, they leave out trans women. How does the group deal with those issues?
Yeah, so their rides are open to all women and women-identified gender non-conforming folks. And we were just doing a Q&A where that was a really big topic. And Joan, who's a really active member of Ovarian Psychos, was kind of speaking to it. And I, again, hate to speak for them, but she was kind of saying, you know, that they want to be able to talk about those issues. It was an issue that was brought up to them, and they are open to trans women and trans folks. So I think it's something that they're constantly dealing with, but they've had some pushback about the name, and I think they're really open and welcome to trying to have those conversations, trying to be open to hearing all perspectives. But yes, the issues didn't change the name of the group themselves. I'm sure they have a lot more to say about it than I do, though.
Right. And you know, the ovarian aspect of their name is a pushback or a reaction to male-dominated culture, where we basically equate men's testicles with strength and courage. The women have their own—they have their own signs to denote, you know, that they make with their thumb and finger to denote ovaries. Talk a little bit about the kind of the way in which ovarian psychos have adopted some superficial hallmarks of gang culture in the hand signals, in the bandanas, but in a way that even gangs who do it for a reason, who, you know, do it because it brings cohesion, brings a sense of belonging, brings a sense of family. How have ovarian psychos kind of adopted some of these hallmarks?
Sure. Well, we are really sensitive, and in the film it's addressed not to call them a gang. And
right.
In the film, yeah, Marianne actually talks about an LA Times article that comes out that calls them a gang and kind of questions like why that's being used to kind of like describe this them. Is it because they're women? Is it because they're women of color? Is it because of the neighborhood they come from? But beyond that, they do use, they have a hand sign, and they do pull a lot of iconography from gang culture, but also from Riot Girl, also from the Chicana movement. And like you were saying about the fallopian tubes on the mask and kind of this, the use of the ovaries in so much of their iconography, Maylee Blackwell in the film really speaks to it and says that, you know, something that women are often shamed for and often the victims of violence over is an image that they really put up front and really use as kind of like this confrontational iconography. And that's part of the work that they're doing, is really kind of making these transformative images to and turning them into something of pride and something of value and something of art. I mean, their art and iconography is incredibly beautiful.
Right.
And most of it focuses on the fallopian tubes. So.
And there's music too. Some of the members rap and write their own poetry. And so that expression is pretty, they've created their own subculture, very powerful subculture related to the work that they do, right?
Definitely. Yeah, a lot of the music that we use is actually from Chella, whose MC moniker is Siwatse, and she's an incredible MC who you can find her album on SoundCloud, and those songs were not written for the film. They already existed and were something that we were listening to throughout shooting, and actually had the opportunity to film with her while she was recording, so that was really exciting. And it's, like you said, a huge part of the work they do is that they're artists, that they're musicians, and bringing that all together with activism.
Well, Joanna, I really appreciate you trying to be careful to not speak for ovarian psychos, and it's something that I need to be sensitive about as well. So what my producer and I are going to do after we speak with you is attempt to bring one of the members of Ovarian Psychos who are right here local to us in Los Angeles and follow up this interview with a conversation with one of the members. Where can people find the documentary? Where is it being released? How can they watch Ovarian Psychos?
Yeah, the LA premiere is actually going to be this Saturday at Red Cat through Outfest Film Festival. We're really excited about that. There's going to be an encore screening the following Saturday. And you can follow us on Facebook, the documentary on Facebook, and we are always updating about the film. You can also follow Ovarian Psychos, their Facebook account, if you want to know more about clitoral mass or any of the activities that they're currently engaged in. And the film is actually going to be on Independent Lens in 2017. So you can catch it on public television as well.
And is there a Bay Area showing, since we have a big audience in the Bay Area?
Yes, we just screened at Frameline. We just got back, so there should be some more to come. But if you follow us on Facebook, you can check us out, and we're always updating and posts about the film.
And we will make all those links available on our website later today. Thank you so much, Joanna. Best of luck to you and Kate.
Thank you so much.
Joanna Sokolowski is the co-producer and co-director of Ovarian Psychos. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.